This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This is Optimal Relationships Daily, episode 2126. Six Ways to Raise Kinder Kids by Chris Libby with livehappy.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back for another parenting episode of ORD with me, your host and narrator, Greg Audino. Just like yesterday, and just like each Thursday and Friday, as I said, I'll be sharing an article that covers the parenting journey specifically, and this one comes from Live Happy, a site which covers a lot of great topics. Let's hear this one about how we can raise kinder children as we start optimizing your life. Six Ways to Raise Kinder Kids by Chris Libby with livehappy.com. The thought of raising a brat of a child can bring panic and anxiety to any parent. It's an especially overwhelming thought if you don't have the proper tools on hand to teach your child how to be a kind person. Sometimes we don't even know what we're doing wrong. Thomas Lacona, PhD, developmental psychologist and author of How to Raise Kind Kids, says that the most common mistakes parents make in child rearing is not exercising moral authority with confidence, constantly making kids happy by sparing them from disappointment, and not being intentional in creating a positive family culture. Kids who do respect their parents' moral authority create a foundation for moral development later in life, Thomas says. Quote, "It's difficult to teach kids anything if they don't listen to you, they don't obey you, they don't respect the fact that you are the mom and dad, and you have the right to expect obedience." End quote. Try these six tools Thomas recommends for raising kinder kids. Number one, develop a positive family culture. Creating a family mission statement gives your children a sense of belonging to something bigger than themselves. Thomas suggests sitting down together and discussing your family's core values and virtues. For example, the Smiths don't lie, cheat, and steal. The Davidsons are kind, gracious, and don't hurt people. Or the Lannisters always pay their debts. Okay, maybe that last one is a bad example. Having a family charter sets a tone of how the family should behave and will give children more clarity in why and what the family believes. Number two, become a character coach. In order to raise a kind person, you need to be a kind person. Model good behavior and teach them the responsibility to care for others. Instill good virtues, such as kindness, respect, and self-control. Thomas writes that the surest way to be happy is to make others happy. Good character also means not letting little infractions slide. Take the small stuff seriously, Thomas says. If you don't correct rudeness and tantrums, for example, in your 6-year-old, you'll have a lot more trouble reining in swearing and door slamming by your 16-year-old. Number three, keep constant contact. The responsibility of raising children well falls on parents' shoulders. Stay in touch by holding regular family meetings to discuss anything that may be exciting or troubling in their lives. Thomas suggests a technique he used in his own family called the back and forth questions. The key is to ask your child a question, such as, "What was the best and worst part of your day?" Encourage the child to reciprocate and ask you the same. After a while, you and your child will develop the art of good conversation. Meaningful conversation enriches family life, builds relationships, and gives you a vehicle to transmit your deepest values, Thomas says. Without those conversational exchanges, we really are on the sidelines of our children's character formation. Number four, reduce screens. Technology is great, but not at the expense of a deteriorating family life. A sad statistic is that screens, TVs, phones, tablets, video games, are drastically changing the amount of FaceTime families put in each day. When kids disappear into their own worlds, parents know less about the goings-on with their children's lives, and problems like irritability and poor sleeping habits can emerge. Challenges grow as teens begin to seek validation from social media. Thomas suggests a 4-week electronic fast, a technique developed by child psychiatrist Victoria Dunkley, author of Reset Your Child's Brain. He admits the first few days may be rough, but parents can start to notice real changes in their kids, such as fewer tantrums and arguments. After 4 weeks, slowly reintroduce devices, allowing 1 hour of screen time per day. Number 5. A little hard work never hurt anyone. Our kids learn all their habits, good and bad, from what happens at home. Continuously trying to appease and not disappoint them can turn our kids into self-absorbed meanies. It undermines the family culture and can have adverse effects on the rest of the family. A good way to avoid these feelings of entitlement is to make the kids part of the household team. Thomas suggests giving them responsibilities and chores to do within their abilities and hold them accountable when they don't meet expectations. They should know the value of work, and everyone within the household should contribute. And number 6, make gratitude the right attitude. Constant complaining can be a drain on the family. It makes children unhappy, and it certainly is no joyride for the parents either. Teaching good gratitude practices, such as using a gratitude journal or counting your blessings, can shift your child's focus from what they have instead of what they don't have. If this is a part of everyday life in your household, for example, giving thanks for a meal and asking around the table what everyone is grateful for, then positive feelings will start to cultivate and the negatives will dissipate. Gratitude is an act of kindness, and ingratitude is an act of unkindness, Thomas says. We should teach our children what gratitude means and why thankfulness is important. Gratitude is feeling and expressing thanks for the benefits we receive. Why does it matter? Because it makes us feel better, and counting your blessings is the secret of a happy life. You just listened to the post titled, 6 Ways to Raise Kinder Kids, by Chris Libby with livehappy.com, and I'll be back with my comments in just a second.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And a big thanks to Chris for this article today, for his insights and those of Thomas Lacona as well. A lot of points here about instilling good values in kids. And I'm really glad the fourth bullet about screen time was mentioned. You know, normally we think of values as being something we're really in charge of as parents. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to instill good values in our kids, and that they should stray from, and should they stray from these values, we let the blame all come down upon us. But values are shaped in many ways, aside from parental guidance. One of which is surely the media that kids are exposed to when on their phones. So in addition to taking some breaks from the phone, as was suggested here, consider also sitting down with your kids, asking them to show you what they do on their phones or TV or whatever, and without judgment, ask them what they feel they get from it. Now, this is not a time to scold or to spy, but rather to learn about your kids and just give them a chance to explain how they perceive value in their screen usage. You might learn something, and also gain some trust in the process, too. But that's going to wrap us up for today, parents. Thank you so much for coming and for making another episode possible. Enjoy your Friday if you're listening in real time, and I'll talk to you again over the weekend, where your optimal life awaits.